You've no doubt heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. Now, to be honest, the first time I heard it was in a conversation about programming a computer. Computers don't actually think for themselves. They follow instructions. If we give them bad instructions, we'll get bad results. However, if we give them good instructions, well, we'll get the results we're looking for. And the same can be said with our kids. And we talk about that frequently on this program. But today, we're going to look at some of the other things that we input into our children and discover that what we allow our kids to do and what we allow them to consume can also affect what comes out of them by way of attitudes and behaviors. This is Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to this, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rozzle. And Trace, this is something of a rhetorical question, I guess, because I think I know the answer, but have you ever been to the doctor with one of your kids, maybe even with yourself, and you thought you probably would have been better off staying home and using one of your grandmother's home remedies? You've spoken to me about this, so I think I know the answer. What about you?
Well, you know, for some reason, Rich, I've always felt pretty good about taking my kids to the doctor. But I got to tell you, as far as myself, it seems that more and more as time goes by, I'm having less and less confidence in the traditional medical field for a number of different reasons. First, I don't like the way they often marginalize alternative approaches to health that perhaps, you know, maybe they haven't been educated in themselves. And some folks would even argue that traditional medicine is the alternative medicine.
Right.
But what I really find frustrating is when I dare question a medical doctor about anything, it's like asking, you know, questioning the Wizard of Oz. How dare you question my decade-long formal education? You know, the problem with that objection is that I'm not so sure medical schools are all that well-versed in the informal education we all know is common sense. I like a doctor who's sensitive to the sensitivity of his patient's own body, you know, one who actually listens to his patient's feedback as opposed to going strictly and solely by the little playbook and then condescendingly marginalizing the input his patient's trying to give him to help him with a diagnosis.
Now, I've been to your grandmother, and she's exactly that way.
Well, does this make me a bad guy? I mean, I don't know, but I've probably just ticked off every physician in our listening audience. So for all
hopefully
you,
not.
For all you doctors out there, and I know there are many great doctors out there, and I thank God for you, let me just tell you, all I've done is verbalize what a lot of patients are thinking. So, and I'm sure doctors are probably losing their patience with me right now. But
quite possibly. Yeah. But today we want to see if we can actually help our listeners avoid having to go to the doctor so often or even at all. And this would not only include medical doctors, but even therapists. And ironically, we brought a doctor in to help us do just that. So we're breaking all the rules here. Our guest today is Dr. Jean Lawrence. And Trace, based on what you said a moment ago, I'm not sure if Dr. Lawrence falls into the traditional or the alternative medicine camp now. But she is a certified nutritionist, and that's part of what we'll be talking about today. She's a master herbalist, a master iridologist, and a doctor of naturopathy. She's in practice in Toccoa, Georgia, with her husband, chiropractor Dr. Philip Lawrence, at Lawrence Health and Wellness. And Dr. Lawrence treats patients of all ages. She tries to find the root cause of an illness, which is what you were talking about, rather than just treating the symptoms. And I believe you have been to her as a patient yourself.
I absolutely have. Dr. Jean, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're a doctor of a different sort. So can you tell us what kind of doctor you are and how you're different from a traditional MD?
Yes. My training is strictly in nutrition and dealing with natural alternatives, and so the body can heal itself, which it is designed to do. There are things out there that are harmful to the body, and a lot of them fall under, unfortunately, pharmaceuticals and poor food choices. And so my job is to educate, and inform patients about making correct decisions for themselves.
Is it true to say, though, as I mentioned at the beginning, garbage in, garbage out, and good in, good out? If we were to improve our nutrition, for example, and our health in general, we'd see a lot better results, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Okay. The most chronic patients that I see are ones who are on several medications and just keep adding to that burden on the body. And the healthiest patients I see are the ones who try to eat organically as much as possible, who have a good balanced diet, nothing in excess, everything in moderation, and also care about exercise and avoiding things that are toxic.
And by the way, Trace, Dr. Gene came in right as I was eating my Whopper from Burger King and my fries, and worse than that, drinking my Diet Coke. And she had something to say about all of it.
Well, Gene, what are children lacking in their diets most today, and how can they get it?
Well, there actually is a huge problem with B vitamin deficiency, and that can cause such symptoms as depression, crying for no reason, anger outbursts, mood swings, insomnia, hostility, all from a B vitamin deficiency. And unfortunately, the sugar that is being consumed depletes B vitamins as well as minerals in the body. So when I see people with behavioral issues, children with emotional outbursts, children with ADD, the first thing I address is a B vitamin deficiency that they have.
Now, is this something, are we getting the B vitamins in, but by eating too much sugar, that's taking out the good that we've already put in?
Yes. B vitamins are water soluble, which means they are not stored in the body, such as vitamins A, D, E, and K.
Okay.
Those are stored in the fat.
Well, I can tell you this, as an adult, if I go into one of my little mini binges at night and you know, have a giant bowl of ice cream at, say, 9 or 10 o'clock at night before bed, I wake up in the morning feeling like I want to shoot myself.
Yes.
I mean, it's not only do I feel physically drained, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I just don't feel on top of things.
Yes.
So I'm not imagining that.
No. And the B vitamins are responsible for the nerves and how they function in the body. So you can always tell that a child has had too much sugar when they have anger outbursts, when they won't sit still. And so when I see children that have these issues, the first thing I ask the parents is, how much sugar are they consuming?
How often do doctors, medical doctors, ask those type of questions?
I don't know, because I don't see one.
Because I know, you know, when you're in the hospital sometimes and you get the... like I'm in the hospital all the time, but when I go to visit people in the hospital and I see these food trays from the cafeteria, you know, right on there's Jell-O and there's Coke and Diet Coke and all these things. And this is coming from the medical profession. I'm just wondering, is this done purposely to perpetuate business, or is this just an ignorant act?
Well, for one thing, I'm in a completely different camp from the medical doctors. And believe me, they have their place. Mm-hmm. They absolutely have their
absolutely.
Place. And they're very necessary, trauma care and things like that, emergency treatment. But unfortunately, most medical schools do not offer any training in nutrition.
There are very few that do.
I was told five. I was told five across
the country.
And then
it's usually optional. It's usually an optional course, so they don't have to take it. And so your doctor basically doesn't have enough time with you, because he has to see so many patients per day, to sit down and actually go over with you what you should be doing or not be doing. And most of what his information is, unfortunately, his or her information, is coming from government agencies, which is stressing low-fat diets, which are horrible, you know, high carbohydrate, which is horrible. If you look at the obesity rates, this has been a terrible failure. And so he doesn't have time. He comes in, he greets you, sees how you're doing, and then he gets to what the problem is, and he moves on.
And then he takes... maybe a page from his playbook and says, okay, they're depressed, let's give them this medication, which then acts synergistically on the problem to begin with. Am I right or wrong?
Yes. And when I spoke to an Emory-trained surgeon years ago, I asked him what he knew about nutrition. He said, I know absolutely nothing about it.
And I think most of the American public know absolutely nothing about the fact that they know absolutely nothing about it.
That's right.
And that's what this program's all about.
That's right.
Right?
So that's where I come in.
Let me back us up for just a moment, because you said something a moment ago that really surprised me. Now I know the high carb, low carb, you know, many of these diets that are out there, they throw your system way off kilter and have a lot of really harmful side effects, sending your body into ketosis and this sort of thing. But one of the ones you mentioned, though, was a low-fat diet. You say that's a problem also. I had not heard that.
Absolutely. You have to have good fats for many reasons, for anti-inflammatory purposes in the body, especially with patients with Alzheimer's or any kind of brain issue. They're lacking the good fats and they're overeating sugar. Alzheimer's is now considered diabetes type 3. Because of the sugar amount that they're eating. And so children especially are lacking in good fats, which are important for hormone production, for their heart, because the heart runs on B vitamins, minerals, and fats.
Okay.
And so most children are not getting the good fats into their diet.
So is cholesterol the killer it was once thought to be?
This is what I ask people. If most people are on a cholesterol-lowering drug known as a statin drug, and most everybody you know is taking one, why is heart disease still number one as a killer in the United States? If it was working, shouldn't heart disease be going away? But this is not the problem. The problem is inflammation in the system, which comes from consuming refined sugar and refined flour. The problem with anything refined is that all the natural goodness has been stripped out of it, and then they bleach the flour. That's why it's white, and they use chlorine. And chlorine affects your thyroid. So when people drink chlorinated water, it's affecting their thyroid.
Tap water.
Yes. So a bleached product is going to not help your thyroid to work, which is responsible for a large part of your immune system and your metabolism and a lot of other things. So,
okay, real quick, you were talking about tap water. I know that fluoride is in tap water. Is chlorine in there in a high concentration?
Yes.
Oh.
And I heard fluoride.
I never go and look at the ingredients coming out of my tap. I didn't know.
What happens is I see a lot of women who, especially, they're more sensitive to chlorine. And if you take a 10-minute hot shower with chlorinated water, that does more damage to the system than drinking 8 glasses of tap water.
Really?
And the reason is because the water is hot, your pores are open. And
oh,
the chlorine
so it's a
goes
systemic,
into the yes, it goes
thing,
into
I
the
see.
Tissue. Wow. And so when they come in, they say, I can't lose weight, I have hot flashes, I'm cold all the time, my hands and feet are cold. What's the problem? Then I check them to see if they have, in fact, some kind of a chlorine issue.
Well, now it's one thing to buy bottled water to drink, but that gets really expensive and challenging to figure out how to shower in bottled water. Yeah. So what's the solution
there?
I
always suggest they get a water filter from Home Depot or Lowe's or
this
somewhere.
Would be like a home-wide filter?
Actually, a whole house system would be advisable, but for some people, cost-wise, it's not very effective. So I'd say at least put one on your shower head that you're not getting the chlorine.
What will they notice first? From showering in more purified water?
Well, I see a lot of skin rashes that are due to chlorine poisoning.
Really?
So they'll notice that their skin is going to improve. It's not going to be as dry. And they wouldn't be as tired because their thyroids won't be hampered by the exposure to chlorine.
Interesting. Is fluoride all it's cracked up to be? I heard that's an overly blown thing, too.
Gosh, that could be a whole nother program.
Okay.
Fluoride also blocks the thyroid. So if you're using fluoridated toothpaste and rinsing your mouth out with chlorinated water, you're asking for thyroid issues.
And the reason more medical doctors don't talk about this is because they just don't know. They don't care. Certainly, they're hearing people like you talk about it.
Their training is in pharmacology. And their training, they're so busy that they just don't have time to research a lot of things and to go into that. So if someone needs an antibiotic or something else, then they go to their medical doctor and they're perfect for that. But sometimes they're scratching their heads themselves saying, I don't have time to read all this literature. I don't have time to do the research. So let's just treat it and move on to the next patient, which they can't help.
Tell you what, we need to take a quick break here. The program is Licensed to Parent, and we're talking with Dr. Jean Lawrence about nutrition and the outcropping of that, what it can do to improve your child's behavior, your child's attitude, and, of course, your child's health. We'll be talking more with her as Licensed to Parent continues after this. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly 2 decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting and suicide are destroying our families today, but there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back. You are listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. And Trace, our guest today is Dr. Jean Lawrence, who with her husband, chiropractor Dr. Philip Lawrence, is in practice at Lawrence Health and Wellness, lawrencewellness.com. Trace?
I want to go back to sugar and flour just for a second, because I used to go to a gym with a guy who was squatting like 1,000 pounds. He won the police Olympics back in the 80s. And his workout meal during his workout was 12 donuts, like Dunkin' Donuts. So that seems...
I'm sorry, the irony is just killing me on
right.
this.
I mean, it just seems counterintuitive. I mean, could he possibly have been squatting 1,200 pounds if he wasn't eating the donuts?
Well,
or what's going on there?
When I think about what sugar does to his muscles, I mean, usually there's symptoms and signs of diabetes. And when I say diabetes, I'm referring to mainly type 2 diabetes, is that there's muscle wasting in the person. And so when the person is... urinating frequently, and they have thirst that doesn't seem to get satisfied, and muscle wasting, then we say, okay, it's time to get some blood work and see what your glucose levels are, because that person is headed for that. And the reason is because there's too much sugar in the blood and it's wasting the muscle. So this bodybuilder would have been much better off to have, you know, some real high quality protein.
So I was right. He could have been perhaps squatting even more than he was.
Yes,
if he was eating something
absolutely.
So you could be working out and spinning your wheels because you're consuming ice cream and cake and Cokes.
Yes, and I think a lot of people do that so that they can eat those things without guilt. They can say, well, look, I worked out, so now I can go to Dairy Queen.
Well, what are some things that parents can do as far as preparing meals that would minimize the risk of some of these things, some simple things.
In other words, what does a good meal look like as opposed to what we've been fixing?
Well, I'm always in favor of meat. I'm not really a fan of vegetarianism because they overdo sugar, and I see a lot of depressed vegetarians. No offense to any vegetarians out there. But I see that when they've done studies of longevity in the world, the longest living people do eat meat. And the shortest lifespans are ones that don't.
Really?
So I always suggest that people buy grass-fed beef, if at all possible, organic chicken, and eat the fat. Don't take the skin off your chicken. There's a lot of wonderful good fat in that chicken skin.
Wow.
So if a child has a piece of baked chicken and they eat that wonderful crispy skin on there, wonderful. That would be very good for them. I put olive oil on top of chicken breasts and then roast them in the oven, and they're just exquisite. So
let me ask you this, because is next year it going to be all different? Because, you know, bacon grease was supposed to be, you know, bad for you. Now they say bacon grease is good for you. Eggs are bad for you 1 year. The next year, eggs are good for you. I mean,
how many times have you had to change your own opinion about these things?
Not too many. My motto is, if God didn't make it, don't eat it. And that's what I tell my patients.
The whole face thing.
Yeah, so he doesn't, you know, he didn't make Twinkies because he knew what our bodies needed. But he put meat here with the right amount of vitamins and minerals and everything else in it. So you shouldn't eat just completely meat, even though that has been done. Two scientists years ago checked themselves into a hospital. They ate nothing but caribou meat for 1 year.
Wow.
That would get pretty boring pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But at the end of the year,
dear,
their cholesterol had actually gone down. And they were not deficient in any vitamins or minerals.
Okay, interesting.
And their blood pressure was fine.
So can diabetes then be reversed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if people want to get off their medications, I always suggest that they do that under the supervision of their medical doctor. And that most of them are happy to help their patients to get off medications because they see patients getting sicker and sicker and sicker, but they don't have time to address what they're eating and they really don't know what to tell them. They're just, but they are trying to help them the best that they can, but it can be done.
Now, exercise will slow this process down as far as the damage that sugar and white flour
does? If someone, especially if an older person can lift weights. Now, a lot of people think if I lift weights, especially women, that they're going to bulk up, but they're not going to do that because we don't contain the hormones to do those kinds of things. So weightlifting for a senior citizen increases flexibility. It just helps them to feel better. Right. It increases balance, but it also takes the sugar from the blood, puts it into the muscle to be burnt up.
And muscle bulk doesn't necessarily mean muscle strength either, because, you know, you look back during the Civil War days and these guys were like, you know, 120 pounds going 10 miles just to get into a fight and eating minimally. I think we don't realize how little the body really needs to be strong. These guys were strong as oxes. What am I going wrong there?
You're not.
Oh, there you go. See?
Real quickly, though, to bring this perhaps around and try to bring some balance to it, you said before we were recording today, you made the comment that you've told patients, hey, you know, you don't have to cut everything that you think of as good out of your diet. If you're going to a birthday party, it's okay to have cake. Just don't eat the whole cake.
Yes.
Can you spend a moment? We're almost out of time, but can you sort of address where one finds balance?
Well, I tell people that life is short and you should enjoy your life. And if you're too strict, you're going to feel deprived and you're not going to stay that way very long. We can't be deprived in this country. It's against the law, I think.
Unless you're Jack LaLanne.
Yes. So what I tell people is dark chocolate is a wonderful addition. Just don't eat 14 bars of it a day. But if you have a small piece of organic dark chocolate, it's wonderful. It satisfies your sweet tooth and it's delicious and it's not bad for you. But people think they should cut out everything. But if you have a special occasion, Christmas or Thanksgiving, I never put anybody on a big diet change or anything else right before the holidays. Because they're going to go to grandma's house and they're going to be tempted with red velvet cake and all these wonderful things. Anything in moderation is usually not that harmful. The way people get into trouble is by overdoing every single meal every single day.
Making it a routine.
Yes, and they're just and sugar is more addictive than heroin.
I'll say.
So when people try to, but actually the less sugar you eat, the less you want.
That's true.
So if you eat four donuts, you want four more. If you eat no donuts, you really may not want even a donut. So when I see people with sugar cravings, they're burning up their natural B vitamins. And so we try to supplement with that. And we have an herb called gymnema that helps greatly with sugar cravings. It's excellent for diabetics. So when people have sugar cravings, I see that over and over and over. But they're so tired.
Yeah.
Because the body is just burning up itself from the inside.
Well, most of my years, I've been a sugaraholic, and probably 25 years ago, I went on a sugar fast, a 30-day sugar fast, and I got to tell you, I never felt or looked better. I was just a lean, mean fighting machine. I could go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, wake up at 5, and feel like a champ, and I did not have an appetite for sugar.
Yes.
So
one other thing I see is when people say, I say, what do you eat before you go to bed? And a lot of people say, oh, I have a bowl of ice cream or have a bowl of cereal. That seems to be popular before they go to bed. And I say, well, how are you sleeping? Oh, I go right off to sleep, but I wake up
two o'clock.
I can't go back to sleep. And I say, is it between 2 and 5 in the morning? And they say, how did you know that? Because that's when the liver goes into detox mode. And so the blood sugar drops rapidly and it wakes you up.
No, that's exactly right.
Interesting.
I know people say I have to have a glass of wine or beer before I go to bed. And what they fail to realize is that, just like you said, 2 o'clock, I mean, they might get you to sleep, but they're not going to keep you asleep.
No, it's not going to keep you asleep. And so they wake up and then they wonder why they can't go back to sleep. And then sometimes they have to get up and eat something. But I tell them to eat a high protein snack before bed, a handful of nuts or a piece of cheese. especially even turkey. Turkey contains tryptophan, which turns into serotonin and really helps you. That's why after you eat Thanksgiving, you just want to take a nap.
To get back to the holidays, where also anything that you're having right before bed, your body is about to go into rest mode. It's not going to be able to work and process that very well. So I can imagine that would be not the best thing for you either.
Yes, but some people, they're afraid to not eat something before they go to bed. It's just kind of a ritual.
Did you have a camera in my living room last night? Is that what happened?
Yes, I did.
All right.
It's going to be on YouTube next week.
I know parents whose kids live on fast food, and they kind of, they look fine, and they seem like they're doing fine. How do you explain that one?
Well, the damage is not always evident until years later. Mm. And the problem with fast foods is they contain trans fats. I'm sure most people have heard of trans fats. And that's known as partially hydrogenated oils. And what happens, the danger with trans fats is that it makes the cells more resistant to insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person is trying to get their blood sugar back to normal, and the insulin is trying to enter the cell says, don't come in here. And this leads to diabetes. This is a real, real problem. But also, trans fats stay in your body for 103 days.
Wow.
So the Krispy Kreme that you had 2 months ago is still in there.
Still there.
Yes, still causing damage.
Wow.
And this also, sugar, I was going to mention that it causes what's called accelerated glycation end products, known as AGES, A-G-E-S. Which really is, that's what it does to the body. It ages it. So a lot of people, if you look at them, their age, their actual age and their physiological age are two different things.
Mm.
They're aging very rapidly. They're having, you know, problems with memory. That's usually from sugar.
That's my problem.
What's your name again?
Well, listen, we got to have you back. There's just too much here to go over. I really want to discuss a lot of things with you here that we didn't get to. Our time's about up, but will you come back at a later date?
Absolutely.
Continue talking about this, because I think that there's a lot more to how our kids behave and conduct their affairs than we really realize. As far as this whole food thing.
Yes, and remember, these are the adults of tomorrow, and they're choosing our nursing homes.
Right.
So we want them to be all they can be.
That's true. Our guest today is Dr. Jean Lawrence, who with her husband, chiropractor Dr. Philip Lawrence, is in practice at Lawrence Health and Wellness. They're located in Toccoa, Georgia. You can find them online, however, on Facebook at Lawrence Health and Wellness and also online at lawrencewellness.com. And by the way, you'll find us on the web as well. We are at licensedtoparent.org. That's where you can find archives of our past programs, plus videos and articles to help you become the type of parent God intended. You can also download a free copy of Trace's ebook, America's Youth Culture Manifesto, and you can connect with one of our Shepherd's Hill family coaches for one-on-one parenting help. Our address, once again, is licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us once again next time, and again, renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.